Deuteronomy chapter 30, we're almost done with this. So it shall be when all these things have come upon you, the blessing and the curse which I have set before you, and you call them to mind in all nations where the Lord your God has banished you, and you return to the Lord your God and obey him with all your heart and soul according to all that I command you today, you and your sons, then the Lord your God will restore you from captivity and have compassion on you, will gather you again from all the peoples where the Lord your God has scattered you. If your outcasts are at the ends of the earth, from there the Lord your God will gather you, and from there they will bring you back. And the Lord your God will bring you into the land which your fathers possessed, and you shall possess it, and he will prosper you and multiply you more than your fathers. Moreover, the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, in order that you may live. And the Lord your God will inflict all these curses on your enemies and on those who hate you and who persecuted you. And you shall again obey the Lord and observe all his commandments, which I command you today. Then the Lord your God will prosper you abundantly in all your work of your hand, in the offspring of your body, in the offspring of your cattle, in the produce of your ground, for the Lord will again rejoice over you for good, just as he rejoiced over your fathers. If you obey the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in this book of the law, if you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and soul, for this commandment which I am command you today is not too difficult for you, nor is it out of reach. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will go up to heaven for us to get it for us and make us hear it, that we may observe it? Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will cross the sea for us to get it for us and make us hear it, that we may observe it? But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may observe it. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity and death and adversity, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, that the Lord your God may bless you in the land where you are entering to possess it. But if your heart turns away and you will not obey, but are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land where you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess it. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. So choose life in order that you may live, you and your descendants, by loving the Lord your God, by obeying his voice, and by holding fast to him. For this is your life and the length of your days, that you may live in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and to give them. Amen. Excuse me. Okay. So chapter 30 actually continues on where it ended in 29, that if you disobey the Lord, all these things are going to happen to you. It's going to be really bad. And then the result of that is going to be a restoration. Now, if you look at the components of this restoration, I want to suggest to you a bigger picture than this. It says here that, first of all, you're going to be scattered and you're going to all be gathered together. Now, most people, when they read this passage, they thought this was about the Babylonian captivity, which is probably the biggest one and where most of the prophecies are related to. You get the major prophets that are dealing with this. I want to suggest to you that it's not the Babylonian captivity, because of two different points. One is this idea that everyone will be gathered together. We know that in the Babylonian captivity, it didn't happen. That people, the Israelites, were still scattered. There was another part here which talks about that God will circumcise their heart. In other words, they'll be wholly devoted to the Lord. We know that didn't happen either as a result of the Babylonian captivity. So I want to suggest to you, when we talk about restoration that's promised here, this is actually the restoration, meaning salvation. This part, the beginning here of 1 through 10, and then 11 kind of switches gear a little bit, is really talking about the restoration of all things that later on the Apostle Paul will also talk about. And this restoration really is the people of Israel coming to believe in Yeshua, the Messiah. In other words, Jesus the Christ. And so this is really the restoration of all things. This is at this restoration, which is really talking about the end time calling of Israel unto the Lord Jesus Christ. At this time, everyone that was scattered will be gathered in this place. Everyone that the hearts, they'll be circumcised in this place. And so that their hearts will be totally given over to Him. And so just to get you guys on the right page here, this is not talking about Babylonian captivity. It could be on a kind of maybe a short-term sense. But remember, when we read the Bible, we have to look at the events of the world with a couple of different lenses. There's a short-range lens, and there's a long-term, long-range lens. And this, the first part here, when it talks about the restoration, as promised, it's the restoration of all things. And in fact, Paul will use a lot of this same language as well in his letters as he's dealing with the Israelites, so particularly in the book of Romans, particularly Romans chapter 10, if you read through that, particularly verse 6 and 8, okay? And then from verse 11, he tells these guys, look, this command, it's not that hard for you. The New Testament says that His commandments are not burdensome. In other words, a Hebrew says that you have not yet shed blood in your battle against sin. And so the idea is that when God gives us a command on a couple of different levels, one, it's the command itself is not so huge that you cannot obey it. He's not telling you to split the sea. He's not telling you to multiply bread and fish as some of these miracles. He's telling you to be honest. This is also what the world does. He's telling you to be faithful to your spouses, which is also what the world does. He's telling you not to steal, which is also what happens in the world. And so if you just begin to simply look at all these things, they're not difficult to do. That's on one level. The other level on top of that is that God also gives us a strength not to do these things as well. We have the witness of the Spirit. We have the power of the Spirit that works in our lives that helps us to be able to set ourselves free from this sin as well. Remember your GIC verse, the assurance of forgiveness. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purifies from all unrighteousness. He helps us in all of the unrighteousness that we face. That's God's promise to us. So you have those things happening. So He says, look, it's not beyond you that you can do this thing. And then in 15, He makes it clear, look, I have set before you today life and prosperity and death and adversity. This is Moses is really good. And then Joshua will also be really good about laying these two conditions before them. Remember later on, Joshua says, choose today who you will serve, either your gods over here or serve them. And he says, as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. And so he uses this very similar kind of a literary device and says, well, you can have life or you can choose death. It doesn't matter. You choose, right? But make sure you choose right now what you're going to do. And that's simply what he says. Verse 15, I've set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. In that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, to keep His commandments and His statutes and His judgments, that you may live and multiply. The Lord your God may bless you in the land where you are entering to possess it. But if your heart turns away and you will not obey, but are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land where you're crossing the Jordan to enter and possess it. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. So choose life in order that you may live, you and your descendants, by loving the Lord your God, by obeying His voice, by holding fast to Him. For this is your life and the length of your days, that you may live in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. And so he's going to turn to this place, and this is now the whole discourse of Moses, and he stops here, basically. Next chapter, he does give one last counsel, but pretty much his speech is done. He's going through all these, reminding them of what God had done throughout Egypt and through the wilderness, and this is how you should keep the law. And then he finishes and says, people, today, choose life. Choose to follow God, his ways, his statutes, his ordinances, his judgments. And if you do that, God will bless you. God will multiply you. You'll have everything you ever wanted. Now, if you choose death, if you choose to serve other gods, if you choose to follow after other gods, then you are going to die. You're going to perish. And we know that the story of the Israelites moving from this place, that's precisely what they do. There is a remnant that does choose God, but the majority of the Israelites, going through the narrative throughout the rest of these passages in the Old Testament, they unfortunately choose idolatry and choose to serve other gods because it's easier to do that. And as a result, a lot of trouble, a lot of heartache, a lot of disease, a lot of captivity begins to happen throughout their lives. And he says, just choose life. Whatever is going on, whatever is happening, always choose life. Choose to follow God. You got to begin to see, because when we talk about judgments, we talk about commands, even we talk about discipline, for most of us, because we come from such an orphan heart, that all those things seem very negative to us. And when we talk about commands, discipline, following orders, we think that's death, because we're orphans in our heart. And God says, no, God's commands, obedience, his judgments, all these things, he says, that is life. And we need to really, in essence, have a heart of a son, you know, to recognize that the Father only disciplines those that he loves. And so the discipline of the Lord is really a byproduct of your sonship more than anything else. The reason why you can't endure discipline is because you're an orphan heart, and that you're basically not loved. And so no one disciplines you in that regard. You're off on your own. And so there's got to be a paradigm shift that begins to happen in our minds, that we just simply begin to realize that those things are actually good things. God's commands, God's statutes, his judgments, his discipline. You need to start reordering your mind. Remember, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Paul tells us in Romans 12 to renew our minds in this regard, so you know what God's will is. And so we have to reorder, renew, change our minds, paradigm shift, all these things, to recognize commands, statutes, judgments, discipline, this equals life. And as soon as you start doing that, as soon as you start thinking and acting like a son, man, it's the way of following God is going to be actually much easier for you. Because you're not going to think, oh God, why are you judging me? Or why are you doing this? And orphans speak in those terms. A son just receives God's commands and obeys and follows them. Amen? Let's close our eyes. Let's meditate on that a moment. Just think, initially, when you hear those words, commands, judgment, stipulations, obedience, discipline, when it, as it pertains to God, do you typically see that as something positive or something negative? The Bible here, Moses, considers those things to be life, and not obeying is death. I think for a lot of people in the church, those things are considered death. And having freedom and doing whatever you want and having control seems to be life. Brothers and sisters, you have freedom and you have control. Right? You're free to follow God. You're in control of that. And you're not losing that control by any means. You're just exercising it, but exercising it righteously. And if, honestly, if that is an issue, like those ideals, and it, when you hear those words, it comes off very negatively, I think it's time to go before the Lord and ask Him to change your mind.
I
Let's pray. Let's ask God to change our minds. If we look at obedience and commands negatively, let's ask the Lord to renew our minds. Begin to look at those things with the heart of a son. And that we welcome the Lord's discipline. We welcome His commands. They're easy. We're walking in step with the Spirit. If there is certain things that you struggle with, submit those things to the Lord. Or we talked about on Sunday, submit your weaknesses to God, that it may not turn into wickedness. Well, let's pray this morning. Let's pray over our community that's battling cancer and illness. Let's pray for God's healing over their lives. Some may erroneously believe that God may be punishing them in some way because through this illness, and that's a lie from the pit of hell. God does not bring disease into our lives. And let's pray that they would have the right mindset to deal with their illness, and they would really just trust in God for healing. Let's just lift them up. Let's pray for our community that's battling illness, but also needs to meet with Jesus. Let's pray for physical healing and spiritual healing. Let's pray for our community that's battling non-cancer illnesses. So let's pray for God's healing. Thank you. pray for our community that's looking for work, and let's pray for God's provision. Go to our mission focus and let's pray for Cambodia. Let's thank God for the trips that went on this summer. Let's pray for grace and ask the Lord's protection and just covering over her. Pray for Bloom in the ministry, that the Lord would continue to use the cafes and all the different locations to really draw people to Him. I know they're trying to open up another one outside of Cambodia. Let's just pray for God's blessing and open doors and they'd find everything they need. Let's also pray for Japan and ask God to breathe life into probably one of Asia's most unchristian countries. Pray for Pastor Sophia. Continue to pray for her language studies and for her health. She seems to get these little illnesses that come and throughout the time. She earned top scores in her last language exam, so that was great, and she's quite happy about that. So let's pray that momentum would continue to carry on for her. Let's lift them up. Let's pray for IP Well and Cascade. Pray for anointing and pray for the covering and protection over all of our ministers. Let's pray that as they pray and pray for others, for their illnesses, physical and emotional, spiritual, that there would be really a tremendous amount of anointing. Just cover all of our volunteers and our leaders, that they would just really serve God with all their heart. Let's pray for our Alpha ministry. I pray for unity and protection over all the core members. Pray for timing for the next season, as they're still trying to figure out when our next season of Alpha will be. And also just all the operations for the new term. And just ask God's blessing over it. Thank you. Let's cover our education ministries, and let's pray for Noah's Ark, SP Youth, and SPU. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to breathe life over our pastors, our teachers, and our students and parents as well. Also, the next few weeks, Mary and Yiling will be in the U.S. attending a conference, and so let's just ask the smooth operation while they're gone here in Hong Kong. Let's pray for our outreaches tonight. Let's pray for SP Lights and the homeless outreach. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us and protect our ladies that go out tonight and continue to make stronger connections with the homeless. Let's just cover. Let's pray for House Church tonight. Let's pray for Robin Hood, Elements, Austin West, and Olympic. Pray that as they discuss and really come together about the heart of a son, that God would really put sonship in each of their hearts, especially towards their House Church leaders. And there'd be a major shift that occurs in people's mindsets. Let's just ask God's blessing over them and pray for all the different elements, their fellowship, the worship, the word, and the work, that the Holy Spirit would be leading and guiding throughout the time. Father, we thank you, God, again for another reminder, God, that your commands, God, your judgments, your stipulations, your obedience is life to us, Lord. If there's anything in our mindsets, God, that take us away from that understanding, that we may look at those things maybe as death or something as being something that's negative, well, we pray that you would reorder our minds, reorder our thinkings, God. We thank you, Lord. Watch over us today. Help us to give your son Jesus all the glory that he deserves. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you tomorrow.